I am the son of Timaeus. Everyone knows me as the son of Timaeus. In the language we speak around here, in Aramaic, or sometimes we speak Hebrew, Bar Timaeus, Bar son of Timaeus. That's what I'm known as. Now, there are other people who could be known, like my brother is Haggai Bar Timaeus. I could have been John Bar Timaeus. I could have been known as Matthew Bar Timaeus, but I'm known as Blind Bartimaeus. I'm known, identified as by my disability. Blind Bartimaeus, the blind son of Timaeus. To most people, that's who I am. That's all I am. Everybody in the town of Jericho, where we live, they know me as blind Bartimaeus. They know I'm the guy who my son Timaeus, my father Timaeus, brings out, and I sit here by the entry to the city every day, begging, just hoping to get a few more coins to help feed the family of my father. So all the locals know me as I am blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, which throws them a bit these days, because lately they see me and they don't know what, they're confused, because they see me walking along and I can see, and they go, hey, it's that blind Bartimaeus, I bet he could see. Maybe it's another, maybe it just looks like him, maybe it's another son of Timaeus who's come in from some other town or something like that. But it is. It's me, blind Bartimaeus. I can see. And the ironic thing is that in many ways, I could actually see important things before they could see. See, yes, while I was blind, I couldn't see trees and people and colours and those things, and they could. But I saw the truth before many of them did. The truth that can... I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go back and tell you how blind Bartimaeus is no longer blind. It was a day like any other day, which I'd had so many of, sitting there by the side of the road near the gates of Jericho, and I heard a crowd coming. I could hear the crowd coming, but I didn't know why they were coming. I could hear people excited, didn't know what the reason. It was so often would happen when I was blind that I'd hear things happening and I wouldn't know why. I'd hear something creating a stir and I wouldn't know what. And nobody bothered to people don't bother to explain to blind Bartimaeus, the beggar. And once again, nobody bothered to explain to me. But I tell you, I listened. Got to learn to listen if you can't see. And I listened and I heard people mentioning the name Jesus. And I'm wondering, could it be? But Jesus is a fairly common name. So I shouted out. I sat there and I call out, is it Jesus of Nazareth coming? And they go, yes, he's not just coming, he's almost here. And my heart nearly leapt out of my chest. So excited, Jesus of Nazareth. I'd heard so much about him. It's when you can't see, you've got to learn to listen, not just to, you know how when you're seeing, you see not just what people want you to see, you see the other stuff as well. When you're listening, you've got to listen to everything because you need every clue. And I'd be sitting here beside the road, I'd hear people coming along, coming back, and say, "Well, Jesus, he just fed this massive crowd that was so." And they'd be almost shouting with joy about it. Or other times, I'd hear there and hear people going, he cast out a demon. How is he doing that? Where's his spiritual power come from? I'd hear people talking about that as they're going past. I'd hear people saying, and Jesus healed the lame man. Healed a guy who never walked. We know that guy, and he never walked. And I'd hear people mentioning this. And other time I'd hear other people, because Jericho, we're on the road up to Jerusalem, I'd hear the power brokers coming down, rushing out to hear, because they've heard that Jesus is talking about this kingdom of God. And he's saying disturbing things about that. I'd hear them going out there wondering, what is this way Jesus talking about the kingdom? This is attacking their power. Is he a threat to them? They're wanting to know, is he a threat? And I hear them going up and on their way to find out, I hear them coming back worried. Worried that the way Jesus is going, he could trigger some retribution from the Romans. And then I'd hear them other times coming back, Pharisees, the great religious, everybody looks up at them, and they'd come back outraged because Jesus would be calling them hypocrites. I'd hear from lots of people who'd heard from Jesus. People all around me, people that I heard going past, people in when I was back in the town, I'd hear them talking about Jesus. But it seemed to me not many of them were actually thinking. I was too busy talking and rushing. At least they weren't thinking about who Jesus was, who Jesus could be, given what they knew from the scriptures. They all knew the scriptures. I'm sitting there, we're Jews living together here. Maybe it's that when you can see, life gets too busy to stop and think a lot of the time. Maybe it's that when you can see, it gets too busy to actually sit there and contemplate the scriptures. I'm going to have to watch out for that now. But so when I couldn't see, I heard scripture read, and I had time to stop and reflect on it. When I couldn't see, I heard about what people were saying about Jesus, and I could stop and think and reflect on that, given what I knew from the scriptures. See, us Jews, the scriptures talk about us as God's people and his chosen people, and then they talk about the great King David, and people still talk about this great King David. So it's before the Roman Empire, which is now, then before the Greek Empire, before the Persian Empire, before the Babylonian Empire, there was a series of kings, and the greatest of our kings was this King David. And people still look back, even 1,000 years later, to this great king, especially because God gave him promises that one of his descendants would be ruling forever. God had promised David that as his people, his descendants walked with him, he would bless them and they would rule. And David did this. He led the people to follow God. And so God gave him victory over all his enemies. All Israel lived in peace as God's people. But after King David, the kings that came after him rejected God again and again. Our history's been tragic, all the other empires taking over us. But again and again, through all that period of tragedy and heartbreak, we read in the scriptures of God sending his prophets, the messengers, to go out among the people, calling them back to God, calling them. And go out among the people also offering them hope that God has not forgotten, that God will send a great king, a great son of David in the future. A king who will love God and be wise and fair. A king who will love his people and defeat all their enemies. And I tell you, at the moment, under the Romans and their brutality, the way they plunder us, and plunder our finances, they keep our economy going good so they could take the cash back to Rome, I tell you. And then you've got the Herodian kings, they're just traitors, half-blood traitors who just are conspiring. There are plenty of us hanging out all across the country looking for this great son of David to rescue us, to come and save us from the brutality of the Romans and their puppets. And so people hearing this and that, they hear about Jesus of Nazareth, it gets them thinking, could this be? And they'll rush out, go off to see Jesus, rush out to him. But when I heard about Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, I didn't go anywhere. I couldn't go anywhere, could I? So I stopped and I thought. And I thought about everything that I'd heard about Jesus. And about the scriptures, you know, I'd heard how Jesus proclaims the arrival of God's kingdom. Good news for the poor. Hope for the prisoners. That sounded a lot like the Messiah predicted in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, his 61st chapter. In his miracles, Jesus shows us power greater than David, greater than any of the prophets, which sounded to me a lot like the king greater than David predicted in Psalm 110. Jesus heals the lame and makes the deaf to hear, as predicted in Isaiah 35. And Isaiah 35 also speaks of the blind seeing. But the more I thought about it, the more I was convinced this Jesus I was hearing about is the great son of David, the promised king of Israel. And he is the king with the power to make the blind to see. And now, I've been praying that maybe I could meet this Jesus. And now they're telling me, Jesus of Nazareth is here, right, just about to walk in front of me. And so I shouted out from where I sat, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. People around me didn't like that. They told me to shut up. Stop making such a racket. Don't call out calling Jesus son of David. Do you want to get him killed by the Romans? Do you want to get Jesus, do you want to get yourself killed by the Romans? Don't go shouting out son of David in such a public place. Now, others might have been too scared to recognise Jesus for who he is, but I wasn't. Shouted out, son of David, have mercy on me. And other people, they'd go at me again, they'd go, have mercy on you. Who are you, you filthy sinner? I think he must have thought I was a worse sinner because I was blind, and so God must be punishing me for my sin. Well, that didn't stop me. I know I'm a sinner. I'm a bit dubious about that I'm a worse sinner than others because I'm blind. But I've been reflecting on God's greatness, reflecting on God's law. And I know I break God's law. I know I don't meet his perfection or the way he calls me to live. I know I get bitter and complain and covet what others have, and sometimes I take what isn't mine. I know that. I know I am a sinner in need of mercy. That's why I was crying out, have mercy on me. As I shouted out, I knew that being blind wasn't my only problem. My eyes were blind, but I saw that I was a sinner who did not deserve Jesus' attention. My eyes were blind, but I saw Jesus is the great King, the Son of David. My eyes were blind, but I saw King Jesus was bringing more than just a political kingdom. My eyes were blind, but I saw that Jesus had the power to heal. The power to heal me. My eyes were blind, but I saw Jesus would be merciful to me if I cried out to him. So I sat there, as I'd always sat there, but now I was crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then I heard the crowd stop. And for the first time I heard Jesus' voice. He said, call him. And the crew around me said, oh, take heart. On your feet, he's calling to you. I took off my clothes, jumped up, and made my way. I could hear people stepping back as I walked over to where I'd heard Jesus' voice. And Jesus spoke. At this time he spoke directly to me. What do you want me to do for you? Just to hear that from King Jesus. It was amazing. So, honourable teacher, I said, I want to see. Go on your way, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. That a word from Jesus. I blinked, and I could see. There were green trees. You have any idea how good trees look? and brown and yellow rocks and people all around me. And Jesus, the great Son of David, looked at me, had mercy on me, and healed me. And someone handed me my cloak, and Jesus started walking, and I followed him up the slope to Jerusalem. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was overwhelming. The colours, the trees, the people. And as we went, we followed Jesus, the great promised King, in front of us, in front of me. And I could still hear the crowd of the people around me, people behind me, whispering. Could the son of Timaeus be right? Could Jesus be the promised king? Could he be the promised son of David? And I could hear the tone of the whispers getting louder, getting more excited as we walked on up towards Jerusalem. More people seemed to agree Jesus is the promised king. Must be. It wasn't a continual walk. There were times when we stopped, times when we slowed. And as Jesus led us up towards the capital, you could hear the excitement as we're going up following the son of David, who I know is the son of David, towards the city of David. We're going up following the king towards the capital. And with the anticipation is rising. Will Jesus go public? Will Jesus take his throne? Will he risk the wrath of the Romans? Will he directly take on the Romans? We're wondering, what will happen? And some were really scared. I mean, if Jesus goes public, the whole wrath of the Roman Empire could well be focused on him, the Roman army. But I wasn't scared, because I knew if Jesus really is the promised son of David, then God's power will be greater than anything the Roman army could throw against him. And the tension just built and built until, after one of the pauses, Jesus was brought a donkey, a colt of a donkey, by a couple of his disciples. And another disciple threw his cloak over the donkey. And Jesus got on, and the crowd went wild. But by riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, Jesus was declaring himself. He was making the public declaration to all the Jews, everybody who knew the prophets, that he is the promised king. Anyone who knew the prophecy from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is Jesus saying, he is declaring that he is this promised great king. You know, when this promised great king comes, it's not just that the king comes, but that God promises to act with all his power. Down further, the prophet says, the Lord their God will save them on that day as the flock of his people. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. No wonder we're excited. The crowd saw what Jesus is doing, announcing himself as king. They charged ahead of Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the ground in front of him. They took branches off trees. Some waved them. Some threw them on the ground in front of him. And tell you what, if I get to use these eyes for another 50 years, I reckon nothing will rival what I saw on that first day. And what I heard, the crowd shouting out, Hosanna, which means save. Shouting out, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Shouting out, blessed is the coming of our father David. They get what I saw earlier. Blessed is the one coming in the kingdom of father David. Hosanna in the highest. Shouting these same truths. Now the crowd saw the truth about Jesus. Jesus is the son of David. Jesus is the king who comes in the name of God himself. The king who comes with the power of God himself. And they cried out for Jesus to do what the scriptures declare the great king will do. They shouted, Hosanna! Save! save your people, O son of David. Like when I cried out, son of David, have mercy on me. They're crying, son of David, save us. Save us. But I know we didn't really get it. All of us were shocked at the way Jesus saves his people. The weeks since then have been intense. So, when I was blind, I'd reflected on scriptures a lot. I was sure the kingdom of the great son of David wouldn't just be a political kingdom to replace the Romans, but I think that's what most Jews thought the great son of David would do. But from the prophecies, I knew there would be more. That's why I asked the son of David to heal me, to make me see. I'd seen that much, but I hadn't seen the connection to the scriptures about the suffering servant in Isaiah's prophecies. I hadn't seen the connection to the Psalms where the chosen one doesn't just come in glory, but the chosen one is betrayed and despised. So I was shocked when my great king, Jesus, was betrayed and mocked and spat on and tortured to death on that cross. The king dying for his people. But now my eyes are opened. I see it now. That's why I'm telling you about it. See, this son of David, this great king, isn't just the king to save me, isn't just the king to save Israel. He's the king for everyone. The king everyone needs. And I saw a little bit of Jesus entering in triumph, but I saw nothing compared to what every eye will see when the full power of Jesus as God's king is revealed. Then everyone will see his power. Nobody will be able to oppose him. And on that day, I want you to be rejoicing at Jesus' arrival. I want you to rejoice when you see Jesus, the Son of David, in all his power. So I urge you, cry out to Jesus now. Cry out to King Jesus to save you and have mercy on you. See, it's not only me with my blindness who needs saving, or Israel under the Romans, or other oppressed people who need saving. We all need saving because we have all broken God's law. We've rejected God's perfect way. We are all in need of mercy because we all deserve punishment. That's why the Son of David went to the cross. That's why our King died for his people. We are all, if we're actually honest with ourselves, we're all as hopeless at living God's way, right way through the obstacles of life as I used to be when I was blind, as hopeless at finding my way through a lot of the obstacles that I had to find my way through. We're all spiritually in the dark without Jesus, just as I was physically in the dark without Jesus. But I cried out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he heard my faith, my trust in him, and I was saved. Jesus invites you to cry out to him. To cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then you could come to this King, Jesus, and be saved. You can be rejoicing with King Jesus when he comes again in his full power. You can be rejoicing with the Son of David on that day.